As we come this morning, we think of the value of the gift at the Scripture, Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. We think of those readings and Scriptures. This morning, I'd like to say that I'm going to give everybody over here a dollar. That sound good? Everybody want a dollar this morning? But I'm going to give everybody over here $5. Does that sound good to y'all? Y'all like better the five than the one? But I'm going to give everybody over here $10. Y'all like that better? Rich has already said to give it here. And how about if I decided to give y'all $50? Does that feel fair to y'all? That y'all got a dollar and I got 50 and y'all all in the same building doing the same thing? Trade sides. Trade sides. Okay. The value of the gift is what we want to look at today. We see different values and things, and as we look at it, we want to understand what the value is. We look at when we sell a car or a house or something, and we talk about the value of that, don't we? And as we think about that value, we want to get the very most out of it that we can. So this morning as we look, we also want to look at the value that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Now, I grew up in an era where we had self-serve and full service at gas stations. Some of you may not remember that, but you could drive up and say, fill her up, and you didn't get out of your car. They would sit there and they'd put the gas in it for you. They'd even, if they were real nice, even wash your windows for you, and then they would come around to the driver's side and say how much it was and expect for you to give them the money. At self-serve, you know, sometimes we don't get our windshield washed. We just want to gas and go, you know. As we look at that, so we take that and we see that as a Christian, we also have to take a choice. Is it going to be self-serve that we serve ourselves, or is it going to be full-serve? Do we serve God as much as we can, to the fullest that we can? Our service to God is subject is of importance today as we look at it. Gift that we give. You know, it's not so much. My mother appreciates getting cards, and she says, it's nice. She says, but you know what's nicer? And I said, what's that? She says, when you call me and tell me, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Birthday, I love you. Those are more important than any card that I can find in the store and give to her. Or go by and see her is even more valuable than the phone call, isn't it? So you see, there are different values, and that's what we want to look at. As we look in this story today, here Jesus goes to this house, and as he goes into this house, Martha is naturally just a busy bee. She is trying to make sure they got food and refreshments and drinks and all of this stuff, making sure everything's puffy and fluffy and all of that good stuff. And Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to what Jesus had to say. And Martha gets so frustrated, she finally goes to Jesus and said, hey, look, Jesus, Mary's not helping me. You need to tell her she needs to get up and help me. And Jesus looked at her and says, all of these things are going to be there. You need to consider what is important. And Mary has done that. So as we think about that this morning, I want us to see how that we can apply that to our lives. We see that, first of all, we need to consider the gift. It was a work of love. She worked. There's no value in any service if our hearts are not in it. My dad worked in a shipyard for 30-some years. It was a paycheck every day for him to support his family. I don't know of anybody that worked with him in that shipyard or any today that said, I do it because I love it. They do it because it's a paycheck. And if you live down there, you know that it was sitting down on the bottom of everything else, down on the waterfront. And if you looked up top, there were fence rails individually sticking up, and it made it look like it was a prison. But when that whistle went off at 4 o'clock, you better not be in front of one of them gates, because it was like a stampede of men rushing out to get away from that place. Their heart was not in it. It was just something they were doing. Jesus never said, if you know what's good for you, you will keep my commandments. Aren't you glad about that? I've heard that from my mother a few times. If you know what's good for you, you'll behave yourself, right? But Jesus said these words, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What Mary did was important to Jesus because it was a work of love. It was a work of sacrifice. She had saved, and she had this bottle of perfume that was precious. It was very expensive. In fact, they say that John says in the gospel it was worth at least 300 pence, and meaning that it was a day's penny, and therefore it was almost a year, or maybe a year over a year's salary for somebody. And so Mary takes this precious oil, and she breaks it, as the scripture says, and she begins to anoint Jesus with this oil. And of course, everybody is looking and saying, well, look, we could have sold that. We could have helped the sick and the poor and the lepers, and we could have bought food for them, and it sounds all really good, doesn't it? Because they do need help. But Jesus says she's doing a good thing. The poor you'll always have. The unfed will always be here. There'll always be somebody hungry, but I will be here a short time. Mary realized, and she was in preparation for that. Last week we looked at 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. David was sinning against God, and he found out that he sinned against God. He came to make reconciliation. He came to purchase some lands where he could do a sacrifice. The guy says, here, I'll just give it to you. David says, no, I will not take anything that doesn't cost me something for this. This is the same thing Mary was saying. I am taking this very expensive perfume, and I am giving it to you, Jesus. Today we have the concept that we'll give, or we'll pay all our bills, and whatever we got left, we may give God some of it. And we don't look towards Him, towards the sacrificial gift that He is. Are we willing to be as sacrificial as Jesus was for us? Are we willing to give Him everything that He gave for us? Are we willing to die on the cross as He died on the cross? Are we willing to take humiliation as He took humiliation? But we see it was also a work of faith. She came beforehand. She came with faith to Jesus. And how did she know the outcome of His triumphal entry? How did she know? Why was she doing the preparation for burial? We see in Luke 10, verses 38, 42, we see those. That story where Martha was complaining and also looking to get Mary to help. And Jesus said, don't worry about those things. Be here. Come here. Martha was busy doing what really wasn't needful. I mean, people are going to eat. People are not going to starve to death. I mean, we look around today and we find out that our country is what? In an obese state. What does that mean? We got plenty of food to eat. We're all a little bit on the overweight side, aren't we? We may not want to admit it, but we are. How many of us preserve our foods? How many of us save our foods? How many of you have been to the dump lately and looked at the number of poundage of food that is in trash bags, the smell and the flies trying to get to that food? How much food do we throw away each day? There are people that I've heard says, I don't eat seconds and leftovers. If I don't eat it today and you let it left over for tomorrow and heat it up, they won't eat it. But how many people would be willing to take it out of a trash can and eat? And so we need to see that those are not the needful things. Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to His words, studying His words, wanting to know everything she could. We see that it was a working season also. We see that Jesus says, Mary, you will not always have me. So Mary took advantage of the opportunity that was present. Folks, we're not always going to have Jesus on this earth. One day He's going to come. One day we're going to stand before Him on the day of judgment, and we will have to give an account. Notice that the disciples, along with the rest of the guests, were unaware of the time that was short of Jesus. How many of you think that time is short with Jesus right now? This world, folks, we don't know. Now, people have argued. Paul, that wrote most of the New Testament, thought that the end of the world, that the second coming of Jesus was going to be soon, even before He died. How many years ago has that been? Now, it may be, and they'll say, well, if it's been 2,000 years since Jesus died, it may be another 2,000 years. But Jesus says, no man knows. Nobody knows. But He also said what? To be ready. Because that be ready means what? Time is short. It could be any time. It could be before we even finish worshiping that the sound of the trumpet comes. And praise God, I'm ready for it, aren't you? We need to be ready for it. It's a work of season. Only one life, and soon 'twill pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. All of us have a tendency to put things off. We have house repairs. We have other things that we do. And we will put them off and say, let's go ahead and do this over here, and we'll put that off. But how many times are we putting off Christ? When we start a new church year, our equipping team, they pray hard. They look for people, and they need people to serve. We need helpers in Vacation Bible School to teach our children today. I grew up where I learned Bible verses, and I learned hymns like Little Light of Mine and Deep and Wide and all of those. But the kids today are not brought to church. They don't know the Bible stories of Daniel in the lion's den. They don't know about David and Goliath. They don't know about Jesus. And so Vacation Bible School now has become what? One of the most important tools to tell our children about Jesus, to get them in here, to have a great time with the crafts and the games and stuff like that, to sing the music that is there, and then to go into the classrooms and learn about the love of Jesus. It's a great time, and it's the season of the work, and we have to put our heart in it. We have the opportunity right now to serve our Lord, but nowhere do we see a guarantee that we can do it tomorrow. There is no guarantee for tomorrow, is there? So what does that say? We don't need to put off tomorrow what we can do today. We need to be doing it today. Consider the criticism. Judas, the criticizer. In John 12:4, he says, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected." He was upset. Why is this girl using this stuff when we could use that money? We could care for the poor. We could take care of all of these. And we see that he was definitely a self-server. You see, Judas not only betrayed Jesus, but Judas was the treasurer of the first church. Judas kept the money that was brought in. But we also know what Judas was doing with the money, don't we? We also knew that he did a little moonlighting side with the Pharisees, didn't he? And he had a second job to betray Jesus. And so we see that to him it was a simple waste. Sometimes we think that what God wants us to do is a waste of time, isn't it? A waste of money, a waste of this. And in God's church, when he promises us to, he will provide us with all things. And when we talk about a new program or a new way of ministering or a new way of reaching and touching people, we find out the first question we ask is not, is God in it? But what's the first question we want to ask? How much is it going to cost? Don't we? We worry more about the cost than what God has said. And God says, I will provide you with all your needs. If God wants us to do a ministry, he is going to do what? He's going to provide us with the need. We don't have to worry about how much it cost, do we? Mary didn't have to worry about it. And that's what he told Martha. Don't worry about those types of things. But Judas was not alone in his criticism. In Matthew 26:8, we see when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. Why are you wasting this stuff? Why are you wasting it? Criticism comes quickly to the lips of some of the brethren also. Their nearsightedness is revealed. They could not or would not see beyond the present. What is in the future? Folks, we have a future to look towards. We have God. We have a little inkling, a little scratch in the book of Revelations of what heaven is going to be like. I mean, a taste. That's all you got. How many of you ever been in an ice cream store and they got those little itty-bitty spoons and they give you a taste? That's not really a taste, is it? That's what God has given us in Revelations, a little bit of taste of what heaven is going to be like. And we should be excited about it. They saw the value of the gift, but they failed to recognize that Jesus Christ is worthy of more than just that. As Christians, it is impossible to give too much or to serve the Lord too much. You cannot outgive God. There's no way. Try it. But you cannot do it. The ones who are the first to criticize are the ones who are the last to serve Him. They're the ones that find more fault in anything. They criticize the most and do the least. They have been eating and fellowshipping together, self-service. And then we look at the praise that He gave her in verses 6 through 8. Jesus accepted the offering that she had given. This morning, as we come to worship, when we lift our praise up to God, the Scripture says, "She has done a beautiful thing with me." Is our worship the same way? Is Jesus looking at us right now and saying, "What you are doing is a beautiful thing"? Is our worship beautiful to Him? Is He accepting it? Was our tithes and our offerings, as we held them up and asked God for a blessing upon them this morning and thankfulness for it, was it really? Or was it leftovers that we had? Was it the first fruits that God has asked for? As we see in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, He says, "Many say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not drive out demons? And in your name perform miracles? Did we not tell others about Jesus Christ?'" In verse 23, Jesus said, "I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." How do we stand before God today? Where are we at today? That kind of service where we halfway do it and we give Him the leftovers, it's not acceptable in His sight. Jesus' voice is the only one in defense of what Mary had to do. Everybody else was against her and said, "What you're doing is wrong." And Jesus said it was right. And Jesus gave just rewards, just as He will give each one of us on the day of judgment. We will get our just rewards from Him. What we deserve, not by what we see and how we think, but on His judgment. What He sees and what He thinks. That's what we're going to be judged upon. We will see that this was a memorial for her. Because of her kindness and service, it was pleasing to God. And as I studied this, I thought, wow, should I not ask each day, each night, have I been pleasing to God? Have we asked that question lately ourselves? Have we asked God that? She received the greatest compliment possible from our Lord. She has done what she could do. She has done everything that she could do. The widow's mite gave all that she had, one little penny. No, a penny's not going to buy you a whole lot, but was that penny worth more than $1 million? You bet it was. You bet it was. In our society today, we'll say one penny can't do anything, but gee, look at what we can do with $1 million. Yeah, the guy's probably going to write it off on taxes or whatever. But she gave everything that she had. She was willing to give her last penny to serve God. That is what we need to see this morning. Not just in finances, which is also required, but in our lives, in our services. Every one of us have been given a gift, at least one. Some more than others. And some are using those gifts that have been, and some are not using. Some are halfway using them. I want us to consider the gift this morning. Have we done what we could for Him? Or have we only done what we want to do for Him? I have a house payment. I have a car payment. I've got 3 credit card payments. You know, every month I get all these bills coming in, and I'm sitting here and I get this paycheck and I look and I say, okay, I got to pay this, this, and this. Wow, I don't have but $5. God, and I hope you don't mind if I use that to buy me something with. So God, this week I don't think I can serve you with my offering. Isn't that how the world thinks? But God said, what? If you will give to me completely. In Philippians, Paul wrote these words, "My God shall supply me with all my needs according to His riches." Do we trust Him? Do we really trust God? Do we believe in the Scriptures this morning? Are we ready to give everything to God and trust that He will take care of us? Are we full-service Christians, or do we serve our own selfish wants and desires? The choice is ours, but the time is short. What we do for Christ, we must do quickly. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this Scripture. We thank You for the value of the gift that You gave us through Jesus Christ. What an awesome gift, Father. What a valuable gift. A gift that is more valuable than anything that we could ever come up with, Father. Even our full service to You could not be compared to Your gift to us. So, Father, help us this morning. Help us decide whether we are self-serve or full-serve. Help us this morning to make that decision. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.